You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome everyone back to a very special broadcast. We did one yesterday, immediately after Chip Kelly decided to depart UCLA, and we're doing another one today. I'm David Woods, Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network, and today joined by Tracy Pearson as always, but also joined by the head of the Men of Westwood NIL Collective and champion of Westwood NIL Collective, Ken Graver. Great to have you on again, Ken. Good to talk to you in these
morning,
better
guys.
Circumstances.
Well, it's definitely different circumstances, isn't it?
Look, all three of us are smiling. I don't know what that means.
Well, it's because it's a beautiful day outside, Tracy. That's why.
That's it, Ken.
Yeah. We're having a good Saturday. How about we say that?
Yes.
We're just fine. Here to have a good Saturday. We're focused one day at a time. We're process-oriented, not goal-oriented here on the broadcast. A lot going on, obviously, with Chip Kelly leaving. We wanted to get Ken on because, as we've been talking about basically for all of the last day, pretty much, but even before that, who UCLA targets next, who they hire next as their head coach, is going to have to prioritize NIL, going to have to prioritize fundraising, going to have to prioritize donor relations at an even more profound level than you would have expected because of how neglected it was under Chip Kelly and what he did to damage that apparatus and that potential for UCLA. So we wanted to kind of do a little bit of what actually went wrong under Chip and then what needs to happen with the next guy. So to begin with, now that Chip's out the door, and at another program, we can maybe have a little bit of a frank discussion about what he actually did wrong and how it inhibited NIL efforts. So I'll let you have the...
Dave, let's just first acknowledge that this is the first time that you and I have ever worn UCLA gear.
Yeah, Tracy insisted that I put on a hat. So here we are. He's wearing his UCLA half
support.
Zip. What are we at? Quarter zip? Yeah. What do we got?
No, it's a whole thing.
A full zip. Wow.
I don't know where I got this from. Support and solidarity over UCLA now going forward. That's what we are.
That's right. But you know who didn't wear UCLA gear? Chip Kelly. Let's bring it on back.
That's one of the reasons why we're doing this.
Ken, I guess the first question is, we've talked around the idea that UCLA under Chip Kelly, the football program especially, didn't embrace NIL. But I want to get specific now. What was Chip Kelly doing and what was he inhibiting with his lack of effort or even what he was doing in opposition to NIL?
Look, I think the best way of putting it, lack of effort and opposition go hand in hand, right? If you're not making an effort, you're opposing it. In this day and age of college athletics, just look across the, you guys are wearing UCLA. I've got my Men of Westwood three-quarter zip on this morning, but you know, that's kind of to make a point of I'll wear Men of Westwood gear. You know, you look at that corner of campus where there's the Wasserman Center and the Mo Austin Center, and your eyes don't lie, right? There's one coach who is promoting it. There was one coach who has embraced it, and there is one coach who understands the massive importance of it. And that is why we should all be behind Mick Cronin, 100% and then some, because from day one, it was, this was all about him. This was all about his idea of how programs are going to succeed in the future. And then you walk next door, and that's all I need to say. There was nothing. So it was very frustrating from the standpoint of what we're trying to achieve, what we're trying to accomplish for the student athletes. At the end of the day, I've said it before and I'll say it again, NIL is for the student athlete. It is to appreciate what their sacrifices have been made for the four letters and for our, you know, whether it's your alma mater or your favorite program, whatever it may be, but it's for UCLA student athletes. And when your coach doesn't help that and explain that, you can see what happens. You have a coach that was about himself, and that's how he left. He left about himself. And, you know, I wish him all the best. I don't blame him for decisions that he makes for his life and for his family decisions. But we're in a better place today than we were yesterday. And I hope that whoever the administration brings in is someone that can do what Mick has been doing. And we need to bring back the fan base. We need to bring back the fans, the donors. We need to embrace the new world order. It's the only way to succeed. And we need to do it really for our student athletes. You know, those guys have done a lot for us in the face of some very hard times in that building.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I think getting even like a little bit deeper into this stuff, because so Chip Kelly, it wasn't so much, I mean, it was obviously that he didn't have a vision, but if, correct me if I'm wrong, but there were people involved in the program who wanted to do more for NIL, who wanted to do things for NIL. And there was some active opposition from the head guy.
That is correct. I don't want to get into names because I think right. That's just unfair. But yes, there were people on staff, people in the building, people on campus, however you want to put it, that wanted football to be more active in the NIL aspect and recruiting aspect of the game. And we're told that there was certain ways of that the business was going to operate, that meaning the business of football. And so whether it was, I think the best way of putting it is those people that wanted to do it were doing it kind of in the shadows, where you can't do it in the shadows. It right. Needed to be in the light of day. I'll say it from this standpoint, if I walk into the Mo Austin Center, or if you go and ask any basketball player about Men of Westwood or who Ken is, everyone knows me. It was a year before I met most of the football team. So I think that kind of explains it right then and there. And I'm not saying that I'm important here by any stretch of the imagination, because I'm not. But it's the philosophy of it. It was the philosophy of there's one way that we're doing it. And unfortunately, it's not the way that can work in today's society of college football. So it is what it is. You know, we're past it, and there's no reason to harp on it. And now it's just let's focus on how to make it better. Let's get the fan base back together. Let's get the donors back together. And let's get this football program to where it should be. And, you know, that's the job that Martin, Josh are tasked with right now. And I know that they're deep in the woods on that, and they're really, you know, going to go through a good process in a quick time. But I hope that they understand, and I believe that they do. So I shouldn't say that I hope. I know that they do, how important this concept is moving forward. The one issue or the one worry that we have from an NIL perspective, and it's not, I'm not saying this from the administration, I'm just saying it from our team at Men of Westwood, is throughout the last bit of the Chip Kelly tenure, it was, we, you know, from the donors, from the fans, we'll support when Chip is gone. And over the last 24 hours, people have supported, and I thank each and every one of you that have given something. But whether it's phone calls, whether it's on the board, whether it's on social media, we've now seen a lot of the tenure switch from when Chip Kelly's gone is to, no, now it's, I want to see who the head coach is. And we can't act like that, because the next step would be, okay, we got, you know, Coach X, but we're now going to wait to see who his offensive coordinator or his defensive coordinator is, or we're going to wait and see how much he works. Like, we can't, as a fan base, continue to have excuses. Like, it's time for no more excuses. It's, we're literally in the put up or shut up stage, because we're going to have a new administration in the football program, conceivably by next week. And we better be supporting them 100%, or I don't see how we come out of, you know, that era any better than we're coming out of this one.
So what you're saying is you've seen a little bit of a bump since yesterday when all the news broke with Chip Kelly, but you're still seeing some potential donors are saying, I want to wait to see who the coach is. And
we're seeing, so, yeah, we are seeing a lot of that, and we're hearing a lot of that, a lot of hesitation, so, in terms of,
I mean, for, I completely get what you're saying. I'd also just have to be even handed here and saying a lot of the fans have to feel a little beaten down after so many years of feeling that the administration, and I know NIL is not necessarily related to that, but just feeling that UCLA football has let them down. So at this point, I kind of understand. But the point is, right now, they're kind of putting the cart before the horse, or one of those weird metaphors that means things are ass backwards. If they want the coach that they think UCLA deserves or that is going to inspire them, how important is it to you that you are able to tell them our NIL investments just suddenly skyrocket right now, and this is your NIL program, and it's really burgeoning? How important is that?
I think it's critical, right? The fact is that if I get a phone call today, tomorrow, Monday, you know, while the process goes on, and I can say to, whether it's Martin or Josh, hey, over, you know, in the first 24 hours, you know, we raised X dollars. I mean, that's without even a coach raising X dollars, right? That's the fan base saying we're free of what we didn't want to be involved with. And we're going to move forward as a fan base. So I think it would be huge if we can give even better numbers than we're already getting. And we got good numbers. We didn't get great numbers over the last 24 hours, but again, it's only 24 hours and I get it. And Tracy, I completely agree with you. You know, when you're saying being, you know, level-handed, look, I'm a fan first and foremost. I'm beaten down. I'm tired. You know, I'm tired of going to the Rose Bowl and not having fun. So I get it. I get the whole thing, and I empathize, and because again, it's, you know, I've sat with my close friends who I've gone to games with since we graduated. And we've had major discussions in terms of how much more as just fans do we want to put up with it. So we get it from a fan standpoint, and you know, our group had a deep exhale yesterday when it was made official, and it was kind of like, okay, we kind of feel like, you know, there's some ability here where we don't need to cancel our tickets, or you know, we can still kind of have the fun of going out there. And you know, we're at the stage of life where it used to be, you know, 10 of us that went to college together. And now, you know, some of us are bringing our children, you know, some of us, our children have already gone through the process with us. And, you know, and now we're getting back to just the guys again. So it was something we didn't want to give up, but it was also something that we've been so beaten down with. But we all feel that we can affect change. You know, we can't control the hiring process. We can't control the budget. We can't control things that we can't control, right? But we can control the hope aspect of this. And the hope is that we can help foster a new age of UCLA football without some of the obstacles that were previously in place. And we can also really give whoever our next coach is a running start rather than, you know, trudging through mud, which was where we were in the, you know, in the recruiting game. Let's be honest. I've never seen in my life a signing day where you sign zero players. That's insanity if you think about it. And I know your guy's job is to judge where the recruiting rankings are. And look, and it's an inexact science, and I'm not trying to, by any stretch of the imagination, justify where our ranking is, right? But college recruiting is a business that's apt for failure because the NFL scouting and NFL draft is riddled with failure, right? So, and they've got hundreds of millions of dollars in the NFL in the scouting department. And why are the Bears picking another quarterback after they already picked one 3 years ago, right? So that all being said, it doesn't justify by any means where we are ranked where we're ranked in the Big Ten or in the Pac-12 or whatever, you know, or where our class is. But I think it says everything that you don't have a player wanting to sign on the dotted line, right? That's inexcusable because that's just a lack of doing the work or a lack of resources, a little bit of both, right? Or it's a lack of caring. And I can't answer why we have zero because I wasn't in those kids' rooms, but I know when you're not working to get what kids want these days, which is NIL, the odds are a lot longer that you're going to get guys, but you'd still think you just stumble into one. We are still UCLA. The degree means something. So it's really disheartening where we were, but where we were was 24 hours ago. So let's put that in the past and worry about where we're going to be.
So we need to comment though. And Dave has these numbers. We want to shout out to the bros though.
Yeah.
Right. Dave, give us some numbers.
So bro subscribers. So basically in the last 22 hours have given very close to 20 grand in through just the bro form. And then probably another 25 ish in terms of annual commitments. So just for some perspective, that's so that form has been up since July 2022, I want to say, I think, or no, that was the basketball. This one's been up for a little over a year. That's over 10% of what bro has given in the entirety of the time, including our initial pushes. So it's good. That's great to see people immediately flowing in. But obviously, and look, if you have objections to like NIL and all that kind of stuff, you're preaching to the choir. This is not an ideal system, but it is the system. It is how talent is acquired this day and age in college football. If you want to have a good program, NIL has to be a huge, huge part of it. So the fact that so many of you, I mean, it's over 200 individual donations to account for those $20,000. More people getting on board is going to be necessary. It's just the reality of it. Big donors can't account for all of it. And big donors also want to see that they're not the only ones. So there's a lot that goes into this. So as you're giving, you're doing one of the major things necessary to make UCLA football viable, make it viable for the new head coach. And you're also helping to influence other money to get involved. Like a lot of people, when they do charity drives and that kind of stuff, they do matching because they want to see that other people are getting involved. They want to see that they're not the only ones, that they're not having to support this whole thing themselves. So keep all that in mind when you're given 50 bucks, when you're given 100 bucks, that does matter. And so you're not just, you know, farting away money. It does matter for not just the way that money will be used, but how it could influence other donors.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Dave. And I will tell you that we have had great conversations with our 5 and 6 figure donors. And, you know, we are looking very positive on bringing a lot of those back into the fold. you know, obviously we don't announce those numbers for a myriad of reasons that we've discussed in the past. But again, I want to echo what you said, which is, first of all, thank you to everyone. The more people we can get involved, it's almost irrelevant of the, look, the dollar amount matters, obviously, but it's almost irrelevant if we can continue to show, like, we have, instead of 200 donors, we have 400 donors, right?
Right.
Even, you know, even if it's just $10 or $5 or $20, it's like, it shows that people, the fans are coming back, and that is important to building a sustainable program. That's number one. Two is, yes, I'm going to say it. I've said it before. I'll say it again. And I'll probably continue to say it until this system is fixed. It is fundamentally flawed. We don't agree with it. We don't believe that it's sustainable. We don't believe that it's the best way that this system should be implemented and activated, but we can't be the ones to change it. And to sit here and cry about it and to use our UCLA brains, which are very smart, and say, this is how we would do it. Yes, there are, you know, my dog, who's sitting right there next to me, can probably come up with a better NIL solution than what the NCAA did. That doesn't mean it's going to be implemented. So instead of, you know, pounding the sand about it and saying this doesn't make sense, look, I'm not telling anybody what to do with their money. It is your money. You have every right to do with what you want to do with, how you want to spend it. You, if you don't believe in it, don't give. If you, you know, are objecting this, I am with you there. But if you want us to succeed in the near term, this is just unfortunately the only avenue that works. So, you know, that's kind of a little soapbox moment. But beyond that, it is, you know, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, you know, when we have donations that are you know, monthly or annual, that are recurring, we can't have what people were doing in the past either, which is, oh, we lost games, so we're going to pull money. People pulled money when our basketball program was on that losing streak. And you got to give these guys time. You got to give coaches time to build. You got to give the players the time to show it. But you have to be appreciative that this is not, you know, the money doesn't go to Mick Cronin or doesn't go to whoever our next coach is. And let's just be honest, Chip Kelly is doing just fine today without NIL. You know, he has a job that he's still making seven figures on. His life is not affected by the lack of NIL at the UCLA football program. It does impact our student athletes. And come next week, the transfer portal opens for our football program because our head coach left. And unfortunately, we will probably lose players that we are all fans of, that we all want to see remain a Bruin, to help build the next foundation, the next era of UCLA football. And we're not going to be able to afford it because our fan base wanted to punish Chip Kelly. So it's very important right now that we have to get over that and understand, in order to help save some of our talent, this is the only way of doing it at this point.
So I can see, I'll go a little counter on this. I can understand the sentiment previously when Chip Kelly was coach to hold back in NIL, because in a lot of ways, I think UCLA fans feel powerless in being able to send a message. The UCLA administration, you cancel your season tickets. You're trying to send a message, and the UCLA administration has been has turned a deaf ear over the years. So this, whether it, I know what you're saying, Ken, that it, all you're doing is really punishing the players because this is the money that goes to them. But I think UCLA fans were desperate to find another way to send a message. But now you send a message the other way. I understand that message was sent, and it was very much heard.
It was heard now, loud and clear.
Yeah. Now here's the other message to send along those same exact lines. You made your point there. Now make your point this way. And that's correct. To support the program. And it's critical that there are the donations, the NIL football fund starts to really increase right now, even before the hiring of the coach. So you have something to tell the coach of what's been happening since Chip Kelly left the program. That's sure. That's so key. I'd like your opinion, and you're close to this. NIL now is going to be, it's a factor in hiring a coach. He would probably, any potential candidate would look at the program and say, hey, I need NIL money. What kind of NIL program am I going to inherit at UCLA football? How prevalent, how top of mind is that in the hiring process, let's say, for Martin Jarman when he's going out to talk to potential candidates? Have you heard what the plan would be for the coach to actively generate NIL funds? How much, I mean, is it the first question Martin Jarman asked in these interviews? Is it top three? I would think it has to be pretty close to top of the list.
Yeah, I can't speak for Martin. And I can't speak for the administration, you know, as a whole, whoever is involved. I know Martin and Josh are, you know, over the last 48 hours and getting everything prepared for this when it became almost a foregone conclusion that this was going to be the end result. And I would probably tell you that it was much longer than that, you know, that the idea that this was happening was going to happen.
Really, Ken? You mean the fact that Bro was reporting? Yeah.
Can you say that louder for Eric Sondheimer? Sorry.
Look, I will say over the last few days in any conversation I've had with the administration, NIL has been top of mind. How can we frame this? You know, what can we say? You know, what can we do? They have some great ideas. I know what they're presenting is potentially very game changing. We've been working a lot at Meta Westwood to come up with some great ideas. Or some new kind of concepts, or I don't even want to say new concepts, but tweaked concepts of things we've done in the past to really make this a little bit more viable, for because we'll have a coach that we believe will embrace it. You know, I think a lot of it will be a case study on look what Mick Cronin has done and look what Mick Cronin continues to do. You know, and I would be remiss, and I know we're talking football right now, but we can't all of a sudden just shift and focus on football. You know, we need to, you know, these are two trains that are going down parallel tracks. And the basketball program needs the constant support and the great support that everyone has had. You know, and I know Mick has been out there saying, you know, we need NIL, and, you know, I want to clarify things, you know, from a small standpoint, which is, this is not about Mick, and this is not about Chip, and this is not about any new coach, whoever that person may be. Whatever the NIL that a coach gets, whether it's at UCLA or another school, is, I'm going to guarantee you, from me talking to other collectives and knowing other coaches, you know, from coaches, at the end of the day, if a coach wants $10 in NIL, the second they get $10, they don't have enough because they want 11. When they get 11, they're going to want 15. When they get 15, they're going to want 20. So understand, it is not a failed, you know, it's not a failed business model. If coaches are asking for more, it's because that's where the marketplace is going. So, you know, every time we hear that they ask for more, it's because it's out of necessity. It's because to get the next big player, last year, you know, it's a 10%, you know, step up in salary, for lack of a better way of putting it, or a 20%, or this guy's going to want more, or this guy's going to want more to stay, so on and so forth. And the coaches have to do a great job in terms of roster management and now almost salary cap management. So that being said, again, I think the best thing that we can do is really say, look, we're not hiring a coach today. I would be shocked if we did. Doesn't mean we don't. I'm not there. I'm not in a room interviewing coaches. You know, that's Martin and Josh's job, and they're going to do the best job possible in these circumstances. The concept here, though, is instead of saying, here's all the things we can do, right? Again, oh, we know all, we've got this list of donors that said they were, they pulled out with CHIP and they said that they're going to get back in. Now's the time to get back in beforehand, right? Or even if you're giving a fraction of what you want to give because you're waiting to see if we get coach A or B, I completely and totally understand that. I appreciate it because I appreciate that you're even wanting to be involved in NIL. So the sooner you can do anything, you know, the dollars are great. As I said, cash is king. But it's also, we can say we've gotten, you know, multiple people to be involved, more than we thought, which means those people are already in and we have a better chance of raising each an individual dollar, whether it's someone going from $10 to $20 or whether it's someone going from $10,000 to $20,000 or whether it's someone going from $50,000 to $100,000. That is the story that we need to be able to tell a coach right now, that we did this work before you had to, before you had to, you know, do the job that Mick Cronin has been doing and promoting the collective and glad handling the donors and meet and schmoozing the donors and embracing the fan base. You know, all of these things are mission critical, but they're mission critical for the guy when he comes in. As a fan base, we can do a lot before that guy walks in the door to kind of lay out the red carpet for him. And I think that's what if we do in the next few days.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
With I don't want to get bro subscribers too distracted on the big numbers, because I think they need to just focus on what they can give. But what is the NIL picture in football right now? Like, what is the budget target to be viable in this new world order in the Big Ten on an annual kind of rotating basis? Like, what do you need to have? Because I think people like kind of struggle with this because there's so many fake numbers out there. But like, what do you need to have as a program to feel like you can retain most of your players and you can be competitive in recruiting?
That's a great question, and I don't want to avoid the question, Dave, but I'm going to kind of put pause on answering it the right way, I guess, for you, because I don't know the new staff, right?
Got it.
I would tell you, so
under Chip Kelly, it was obviously $50 million because they don't recruit, but
Right. Well, it's also, what kind of guy are you trying to get? How are you trying to build the program? You know, are you recruiting from the high school level and developing? And so Every year you want to retain that level. Are you, you know, working on, hey, we're going to bring in a lot of high school players and weed them out based upon how, you know, or they're going to weed themselves out because someone's going to blow up and want, you know, massive dollars. Right. Are you going to be more involved in the transfer portal? You know, there's all these nuanced elements to it. And then it also becomes, you know, are you going to develop a quarterback? You know, do you want a 4-year type quarterback who isn't quote unquote NFL talent, but is a great college quarterback? And you're going to just, he's going to be steady, but you're going to put a lot of things around it. You know, I can't answer it until I know what they want to do. the answer is in the millions, you know, in the, I don't necessarily know if it's in the tens of millions, because again, there is a value to being in LA. There's a value to being at UCLA. Your ancillary NIL opportunities or marketing or sponsorships later on down the line, your potential future jobs, your degree, you know, all of these things are cherries on top of sundaes of the NIL, right? Because that's how we always attracted people. So it's the same argument today, which is, and even under Chip Kelly, why would someone want to come and play at UCLA? Why are we all UCLA Bruins? Because it's arguably the greatest college campus around. It's one of the, it's the, you know, it's the most well-known university probably on the planet. You know, it's the most applied to university. There are facts that are inarguable. So you look at 85 scholarship football players, not, they all might think they're going to the NFL. A very small percentage of them actually make it in the NFL. And we all focus in on that as fans. But from a 18-year-old, you know, or a 17 or a 16-year-old who's looking at a college and is mapping out his life, there are inherent, you know, values that we have and that we can sell as a university that other places can't, right? It's why I think you guys coined the moniker, the sleeping giant. It's not because we're going to pay the most, because we're not. That is probably guaranteed at this point. You know, it is not because we have the best on-campus stadium, because we don't have an on-campus stadium, right? We've had all of these things in the past. When NIL wasn't legal, we weren't paying our players the way that other schools were under the table. We still had to schlep to the Rose Bowl. We still have to do this, but we have the greatest weather. We have the greatest campus. Got, you know, for young men, we've got pretty good-looking women walking around campus. You're in the, you know, you're in the epicenter of Hollywood. For people that want to get into that business, you're in a global business center in Los Angeles for other, you know, other employment opportunities, and your degree is meaningful around the world. Those things have never changed and will never change, I guess, in our lifetime, realistically, right? So we need to sell, we need a coach to come in like Mick Cronin, right, and sell those concepts. So you don't need to pay $10 for a player when you can get them for seven, because those added values add up to more than three.
Got so I, hey, I got one thing I do too, really fast. You alluded to possibly a program, a new type of facet of an investment. I don't know if you're prepared to talk about it now. I think you know what I'm talking about.
We have some stuff for, you know, we're working on some stuff for some of the major donors. So that we're going to kind of keep private for the time being. Okay. It's going to kind of be part of the one-on-one conversations with the quote unquote whales of the world. But we're hoping that, in this new kind of fashion that we've structured it, it might be a little bit more appeasing to those people for things that they can get for their dollars. You know, again, I want to wait for the new coach and the new staff to come in and really see how to inject them properly into what we can offer. You know, I sit here and I will continue to use Mick as the example. So I'm hopeful that it's someone similar to that, because I think we've all seen how Mick has welcomed in the fans, has welcomed in the donors, has welcomed in players, you know, has become a global brand again in basketball. You know, maybe the results at the beginning of the year weren't where we wanted, but damn, this team looks pretty competitive all of a sudden, you know, because Mick is a sorcerer and I don't know how he does it, but
he's a man witch is what was conveyed on the board. That
the
is
man the man witch of Westwood.
The new term is the man right. witch of Westwood.
So that all being said, I don't want to copy and paste it over until I have the buy-in of the new staff, because I tried to do it before and it fell on its face because we didn't have the buy-in. Right. So until that comes into place, and we were able to work through the what the new staff wants, how it wants to recruit, how it wants to retain, what its philosophy is. And then we can kind of all come together as a meeting of the minds. Then I'm hopeful that we'll have some very exciting things to offer, the bro donor to the whale donor.
So with you've talked a lot about how that new staff might want to recruit. And I want to touch on this in your experience, because obviously it's not a perfect market. No market is. The NIL market is not a perfect market. Nobody's ever making perfectly rational decisions. Is it easier to retain? So say you've got a good player. Is it easier to retain that player than to acquire that similar player on the open market?
100%. Yeah. Well, first of all, right? It's the devil you know versus the devil you don't know. So right? It's if I have this guy and he's been my left tackle for 2 years, or my power forward in basketball, or right, a quarterback, or what any position, whatever, what you're going to get, and you know the development arc of that player, and you probably also have the built-in ability to get that player for less, even if someone offers more, because one, they're picking up, they're leaving their friends, they're leaving someplace they're comfortable with, so you have all you have the familiarity to sell versus the unknown to sell.
So I guess the obvious follow-up then there is that when UCLA is looking at new coaches, anybody who says in the interview process, we're going to prioritize the transfer portal, and high school recruiting is not going to be one of the benchmarks early on, is not dealing with the reality of first UCLA's NIL situation right now, but also what UCLA's NIL situation is going to be going forward. Like, this is a program based on kind of that argument right there, where UCLA's NIL is never going to be the top of the Big Ten, and it's easier to retain players from a financial standpoint than it is to acquire them. You would want to build through high school recruiting for the most part.
Look, I'm not on staff, so I understand where you're going, but I would also tell you there's a flip side argument. I think the original question I answered was from a UCLA perspective only, right? So sure, if we're talking about if we want to retain our running back versus go and get a new running back, if you believe that they're equal, you're probably paying someone to come in versus someone, versus having someone leave. You're creating a problem, right? If our running back walks out the door and everyone knows we need a running back, you probably end up paying more than you could have just paid to keep the guy. The transfer portal will be key, I believe, because again, you're selling the UCLA degree. So you're selling, talent that is developed, that someone else has fostered or put through a nutrition program or redshirted, or, had them go through the training process for 1 or 2 years. And if you feel like, hey, that guy can come and we're giving him a starting shot, I think it has to be a mix, because we have to understand, because we're probably not ever going to be at the level of Ohio State, right? That's just realistic to say. You don't want to necessarily get the quarterback who in 3 years, they're going to basically pay triple for to do it. So what you need to do, what we need to be doing as a program, whether in any sport, is consistently recruiting the guy to stay, whether if he's going to pan out or not. Because the more these guys feel loved, the more these guys feel valued, the better chance you have to retain them. And then you're making the quote unquote GM decision is, am I trading this guy for someone else? Am I going after a free agent? Right. It's the same business model in all the professional sports. So I think that's where we need to go. But again, we need a staff to come in and embrace the new world order, and so the fan base can support them, and the administration will have the ability to support them as well, right? It all goes hand in hand. When the fans and the donors drop out, it's very hard for the administration to support. The administration wants to support. I know there's a narrative that the administration doesn't support football or doesn't support this or doesn't support that. If they didn't want to support, the business wouldn't be open. It's hard to support when it's a failed model. When it can be a model that can be sustainable, they're going to support it because it's a cash cow. It's simple business, right? It would be remiss of them to pour in bad money. after, you know, into a product that wasn't bringing stuff back. Now we could go on a whole nother tangent and say, well, then you have to make other business decisions, but that's above my pay grade.
Well, one thing I heard from all this, Ken, I just have to say, I heard kind of you say in there that basically fans should be giving a lot of money to keep a Dembona is kind of what I heard. Is that?
I said nothing of the sort.
I took from that.
If you play it backwards, set up.
I would not argue. Sure. You know, yes. But I would say that that's the case for any guy that you think, take a Dembona's name out, play, you know, that's just a blank name right there. It could be for anybody in any program because it's free agency every year. So understand that, you know, the more you have the chance on it, the better we have to retain a guy. But, you know, you saying a Dembona is a great example on what I was saying in terms of like retaining talent, right? If you have the right staff who can recruit the right guy initially, can develop them and then re-recruit them, you have Jaime Jaquez as a senior because right. That's what Mick Cronin did, right? He spent years developing that relationship, building the trust. And so did we pay, you know, Jaime Jaquez as much as someone else could? No, that's not up for debate. But you were able to develop a relationship with that player who understood the value of UCLA, understood the value of his education, of his brand, of his coaching, of his teammates, of his situation. And now look at him. He's arguably the rookie of the year if it wasn't for the first pick in the draft sitting out the year before because of injury, and the other first pick because you're not supposed to fail when you're picking the first guy in the draft.
Right.
But, you know, if you redrafted, Jaime would be in the top five at the very minimum. That is all because of the process that you guys just were asking about. So the more that we can do that versus, you know, having an air about us of we're UCLA and you should just want to be here because we've afforded you the opportunity to be at UCLA and you should be thankful every day that you were brought into whatever building you were brought into. I think our trajectory, you know, goes a lot higher, a lot quicker, because you'll be able to have the value of everything involved and the trust. And I think that's what we need. And I know talking to players that are currently on the team, you know, I'm anticipating we're going to lose talent. Like I won't sit here and be naive about that, but I've talked to a lot of guys and I've heard from a lot of guys or through different channels. They want to stay here because it is UCLA. So we have to just give them a reason. You know, we have to make them feel loved a little bit. They're not asking for the bank to be broken. They want to be treated with respect. They want just, you know, they want some NIL because it is out there, but they also understand the opportunity they've been afforded by being a Bruin. And that should make our fan base and our donors feel really proud and special. We don't have guys literally putting, you know, a gun to our head or throwing us over the, you know, the proverbial barrel saying we're leaving if you don't give us X. They just want something. And we have to be able to give them, you know, a general baseline that almost every other place is giving. And unfortunately, because of the previous situation, we just for a myriad of reasons that I think we all know and we've alluded to in the past, we've stated, we just weren't able to do that across the board for the squad. You know, we cherry picked. If we can do it across the squad, I think it helps.
What would you like to see from the new football coach in support of NIL? That and you can definitely use the last coach as a basis of reference.
I'd like to see them try.
And that is a basis of reference.
I get that. Now, specifically, support events, talk with donors. Just give us a little bit of a laundry list.
I want them to be Mick Cronin. I want them to be driven to win at the highest level. And
golf game?
I don't have enough time to do that. But yes, sure. Yes. No, I want them to. I want them to embrace the tradition. I want them to understand we're a different beast. We're a different animal than other places. I want them to come in and make the fans feel good about being Bruins again. Make us feel proud to wear our gear. Make us feel that going to the game isn't a foregone conclusion of, you know, misery, right? That we're going to have a product that is competitive. And I'm not going to get into the, should we have an offensive minded coach or a defensive minded coach? Cause let's just be honest. If you look at our, you know, again, and I know I go back and I sound like a broken record because I use basketball as the example, but out of our last few basketball coaches, the two that were most successful were the quote unquote less appealing visually to watch, right? Ben Howland, Mick Cronin, we're winning gritty because we're winning because we're the tougher team out there because we're going to wear you down and we're going to beat you up. Those are working. I don't know. You know, if we basically say we're going to get into shootouts and we don't want defense, that didn't work a couple of years ago. And then we kind of went the other way when we had a defense and we couldn't score. So it's how do we build a fundamentally sound program where the fans are proud of what the product is and the foundation. And even through times that are going to be tough, right? Because let's be honest, November, December, and January, or, you know, the beginning of January, were not good for our basketball program. They didn't make us feel good. But we all knew the foundation was there, and we were all waiting for that day where the Manwich would, you know, that light bulb would turn on for the players. And it's turning on. And look, I'm not saying we're going to win every game going forward. I'm not saying we're going to make the tournament. I don't know what comes, right? That's the beauty of sport. But all of a sudden, less than, you know, 2 months ago, we were saying there's no way we can be in the tournament. That's number one. And the second thing is there's no way we could win three games in a row. I would tell you right now, I bet you the conference does not want us to be guys.
He's got an opinion on this.
Yeah, no, that's the her. That's the her, because because she always has an opinion. So, you know, going back to it, it's when you think about it, right? Right now, do you think there's a team, you know, the conference, I bet you, doesn't want to look at the Pac-12 tournament draw and go, we've got UCLA on our side of the bracket. Doesn't mean we're going to win all the games. So I think at the end of the day, we need that same concept for the football program, which is we just don't want to play them. Doesn't mean we're not going to beat them. Doesn't mean we're going to lose to them. We don't want to play them. And, you know, we should be able to go into games and understand when you're a favorite, you're gonna, you know, yes, it's sport. It's right. It's the beauty of it and the beast of it, which is you should win the games when you're, you know, the major favorite. But also, we all sit around lately as Bruin fans going, oh, we're 15 point favorites in football. This is the game we lose. Right. And that's not a good concept to have as a foundational program. That doesn't mean as a 15-point favorite, you can't lose. Of course you can. But we're losing more of those games than we win. So that's the problem. And so, again, as a fan, I'd like to just see consistency in terms of how we're built, how we operate, that we have a philosophy that we're going to kind of stick with. We're not going to change up. You know, we're going to recruit for our system. We're not going to just kind of pluck players here and there and go, oh, we'll see, you know, we'll see how this sticks. And again, the biggest thing is welcoming the fans back with open arms, is embracing the fan base, embracing the donors, and making everyone feel great.
Open spring ball, open fall ball, maybe do San Bernardino again. Let's get the band back together. Jim Mora. Let's just follow the Jim Mora playbook from the first year. Do that.
I think we're close to ending this, and I just want to say too. I know fans are really excited potentially about the football coach that could be hired. Here's the other thing too. There is, in how long Dave and I have been doing this, we've counted the years and the seasons between football and basketball, where, like what you said, Ken, no matter what happens to the basketball program, you can entrust it to Mick Cronin. There are so few seasons of football and basketball where you feel that way about the football and basketball programs. I Dave, you have a better memory than I do. When is the last time that you felt good, confident in both the UCLA football and basketball coaches at the same time?
Tracy, the answer to that is never in my living memory.
That is stunning. So we, not only should you be excited about the new coach, it compounds that you, that UCLA has Mick Cronin. There is an opportunity here. We've always been saying for the longest time that UCLA, I don't want to use the sleeping giant term, but UCLA has an opportunity and a ceiling to be really an incredible combination of football and basketball. There's a chance right now to have two who embody and build programs like what Ken is talking about. They don't necessarily win every time, but you have bought into how they create a team and create a program, create a culture, like generally almost every single fan does with Mick Cronin. This is the opportunity right now. So fans out there should get excited in the way right now, the most immediate way in this environment, we can't emphasize enough. The way you can show your excitement and your support is through Men of Westwood.
Yeah, and first of all, I agree with everything you said, Tracy. I will also echo and say, look, if you have trepidation on what's going to happen with the football program, give to men's basketball, give to women's basketball, you know, give to baseball, give to NIL. So because that at least shows that the fan base is behind the product. You know, whoever the coach may be that we hire, it might not be the flashiest name. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Again, I don't know, and I'm not in those discussions, so I'm not going to sit here and speculate. I'll speculate as a fan. So there could be a big name. There could be a little name. Again, Mick Cronin wasn't our first name, right? We give the guy a chance to come in and sell his vision and see how he embraces UCLA. If you're worried about that in the moment, instead of saying, I'm going to wait and see again, give a dollar more to Mick, give a dollar more to Corey, do something there, because that helps show the administration that we're behind it. And that allows them also, right, to, if we're supporting more one program versus another, their resources can be allocated differently as well. You know, they do look at it. They do understand it. It's probably taken a little bit longer than we all would have wanted, but there's a meeting of the minds that are, you know, coming, and we're really beginning to work more in alignment, and we're having more discussions consistently and frequently about this. So they're made aware of what's being out there. The coaches are, you know, having this discussion in terms of how important it is. You know, that, so this information is really key. And the support is even more important, because we're able to really affect change now from the inside on how assets are allocated to programs. So the more assets that we can allocate to football, amazing. The more assets we can allocate to basketball, amazing. So understand that every fan literally has a voice in this. And I appreciate that you've all entrusted me and our organization for being, you know, your kind of voice at the table. But understand, we're at the table and we're not quiet. And sometimes we're yelling, and sometimes we're pounding our fists and saying things we shouldn't say in a manner we shouldn't say them. But we're saying it because we love it, and because we're not going to take no for an answer until all of these programs are back where they belong. And, you know, that's my promise to the fan base.
Dave, any more questions? I only have two more quick comments, unless you have more questions.
No, I don't have any more questions. I do want to slightly divert. Give to Men of Westwood. Also, Bro's having a 75% off sale. And if you're listening to this and you're not currently a subscriber, get in there. It's like $27 for a year. You'll get the best info. You'll get all kinds of stuff like this. You'll get our coaching hot board. Get in there. Tracy, go ahead.
Get in there. Two things. First off, Ken, have you ever realized that Men of Westwood, M-O-W, I don't know. It's not, if you flip it upside down, it's still M-O-W. Have you ever?
Yeah, we maybe have a decent designer. I don't know.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Never realized first. And secondly, I just want to acknowledge, I don't think we did. How cool does Dave look in that hat? I mean, I just want to reiterate that. Yeah, sorry.
It's unbelievable. And, you know,
he should never take that hat off, ever.
He shouldn't take the hat off. But it's kind of awkward. It's also the reason why, you know, maybe we're doing the interview with him, unlike other people.
That's true. Nobody had to pay you guys to do this interview right now. It's important to remember.
I wish I could pay myself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you should skim a little off the top for having to do this thing. All right. Well, that was great. Ken, really appreciate your time. Again, big ask. Give it to Men of Westwood. Again, NIL concerns, you've got quibbles, whatever. If you want to support the new head coach, if you want to support the USO administration as it tries to acquire the best possible head coach, that is the way to go. Ken, really appreciate your time. For Tracy
Pearson. Thank you, guys, as always.
Yeah. For Tracy Pearson, I'm David Woods, Bruin Report Online, and we will talk to you again next time.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.